Good morning, everyone. This morning we close out the book of Acts in Acts 28. I'm kind of sad about it. I love the history and story of the birth of the church and then seeing how the church expanded and following primarily Paul on his journeys throughout the region. Incredible stories of his courage and perseverance, determination to get the gospel out. And now we see him on this voyage that ended with that ship being destroyed, but they were able to safely get ashore miraculously on an island, an unknown island at the time. But now we find out that that island is Malta. And let's begin. When they had been brought safely through, then we found out that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us extraordinary kindness, for because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. You know, praise God, they ended up on an island that, you know, people were kind to them. You know, there's an island, you know, somewhere over in that region that is off limits even to this day, because there's primitive native people that's still living on the island in a, you know, very primitive native way, and they are hostile to visitors. And you know, some missionary tried going there, I don't know, it was about 5 years ago, and they killed them. And I mean, they're literally native. Like, they have no technology, no electricity, no plumbing, no anything, right? And he tried to go there, you know, some young man, and he wasn't doing anything, and they just murdered him. So interesting that, you know, they ended up on an island here where they were shown kindness, and, you know, it had to be somewhat primitive, but it did have some order to it, as we'll see as well. But it's interesting what happened. So, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the viper, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. And when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, "Undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. And though he has been saved from the sea, justice has now allowed him to live." However, when he shook the creature off the fire and suffered no harm, but when they were expecting that he was about to swell up and suddenly fall down dead, but after they had waited a long time and had seen nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and began to say that he was a god. How quickly things changed. And very interesting. You know, I don't think he tells us, you know, I wonder if they preached, or excuse me, spoke Greek, or did he, you know, was there a translator, or, you know, kind of interesting. I'm not sure. Now, in the neighborhood of the place where were lands belonging to the leading man of the island named Publius. That sounds like a Greek name. I wonder if I can determine that real quick. Indicates Publius was the Roman governor of Malta. So yeah, it probably did have, you know, was somewhat colonized and somewhat adhering to the culture of that entire region, and maybe, you know, not a completely different like language there, who welcomed us and entertained us courteously 3 days. They're really showing great favor to this group of people. I wonder if they told them they were prisoners. And it happened that the father of Publius was lying in bed afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to see him, and after he had prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. And after this had happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases were coming to him and getting cured. They also honored us with many marks of respect, and when we were setting sail, they supplied us with all we need. You know, what a blessing that Paul ended up coming to this island, and they sure heard about the gospel. Some people got healed. They saw the miraculous work of God, and this very well may have altered the course of these people and this island forever. At the end of 3 months, we set sail on an Alexandrian ship, which had wintered at the island and which had the twin brothers for its figurehead. Those are relatives of Zeus on the front of their ship. After we had put in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. Interesting, Syracuse. And you can see we get some of the names of our cities in America after the Bible. From there, we sailed around and arrived at Rehoboam. And a day later, a south wind sprang up. And on the second day, we came to Puteoli. There, we found some brethren. Interesting, you know, I'm not sure if that means Jewish brethren or Christian brethren at this point. And, you know, there's still a lot more Jews at this point than Christians, because Christianity is pretty early. But and we're invited to stay with them for 7 days. And thus we came to Rome. So Paul finally makes it there. And the brethren, when they heard about us, came from there as far as the market of Appius and, excuse me, three inns to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And those places were some 30 and 40 miles away that they heard of Paul coming, and then they came to see Paul. And when we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. Imagine for a moment entering Rome in this day, you know, around 60 AD. It had to be something to behold to see, you know, those buildings that now people go and see still standing. Would have been remarkable to see that, I'm sure. After 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leading men of the Jews. And when they had came together, he began saying to them, "Brethren," so the brethren does appear to be Jews, which I kind of suspected that. "Brethren, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And when they had examined me, they were willing to release me because there was no ground for putting me to death. But when the Jews objected, I was forced to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any accusation against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I requested to see you and to speak with you, for I am wearing this chain for the sake of the hope of Israel." And, you know, because he's around a bunch of Jewish people now, as he's going to reason and he's going to explain that the Old Testament prophesied and predicted about the coming of Jesus, and that Jesus is the hope of Israel, so that he's not, even though Christianity is a change in Jerusalem, it's a fulfillment, a change in Judaism. It's a fulfillment of Judaism, and he's hopeful that they will see it that way so that they can become Christians as well and not feel like they're abandoning Judaism, but really it's an extension of it to come to the one that was promised, the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one to come is Jesus. And they said to him, "We have neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren come here and reported or spoken anything bad about you." So they hadn't heard word, "but we desire to hear from you what your views are. For concerning this sect, it is known to us that it is spoken against everywhere." And they're referring to the Christian sect. And yes, Jews are painting Christianity in a negative light because they don't want people leaving Judaism for Christianity. If you're not of faith yet in Christianity, why would you want that? So then they're going to speak evil of it. And unfortunately, you know, that sours people. And there's still many Jews today who have not come to Christ, are told negative things that they're not supposed to read the New Testament or believe in Jesus. So they just immediately turn away instead of sincerely listening. When they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. And praise God, Paul's going to get this opportunity. And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets, morning until evening. Look at that. All day long, Paul is going to solemnly testify about the kingdom of God. And, you know, the kingdom of God is the prophetic words of the Old Testament that God is going to come back to rule and reign one day, and that there is going to be judgment, and that there's going to be a millennial kingdom, and that what the Jews had one day is going to be restored. And that's what the Jews were expecting when the Messiah came, but they didn't see this dispensation. They didn't see this season of history where Jesus was going to come and offer his life as a suffering servant, as the Lamb of God, to usher in a spiritual kingdom and to bring about the church age in Christianity, and that one day he's coming again to rule and reign. And they, because they were looking for the rule and reign now instead of the rule and reign later, and they missed out on the spiritual kingdom that comes through the born-again spirit in Jesus now, and they weren't expecting that, and therefore they missed it. And Paul's trying to reason with them, and I can assure you he's turning to, you know, some passages in Deuteronomy that talk about one coming from Moses who's going to be a witness and tell people what they need to hear. He's going to refer to Psalm 22 and all the prophecies about Jesus that are in that psalm. He's going to turn to Isaiah 53 and other passages to talk about how Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and that he died and that he rose again, and that he brought his Holy Spirit now to all who believe on Pentecost. And he's trying to point to them from something they trust, their Old Testament scripture, so that they would believe in Jesus. And verse 24, some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. So some listened and believed. And when they did not agree with one another, so now you got, you know, Jews that are coming to Christ and some that are not, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. This is what Paul is going to say to them. Some are green, some are not. And he says this: the Holy Spirit rightfully spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father. So again, he's going to tell them that what I'm about to say is your word. It's your Old Testament. It's what Isaiah had to say. It's going to kind of be insulting, but it's true. And he's trying to let them know that, you know what, if they'll just heed what Isaiah said, they don't have to be this. But this is what they're being. And Isaiah prophesied this is what would happen when Jesus came for some of them. So listen to what it says. Go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. And the desire is that people would hear, and people would listen, and people would understand, and that they would then turn their heart towards God, and that he would heal them spiritually and forgive their sin. But some people see, but they will not perceive. They hear physically, they're not deaf, they hear, but they're unwilling to understand because their heart of the people has become dull. And they really, even though they hear, they've closed their eyes to what they hear. And, you know, this can happen because people don't want to, they just unwilling to accept the message of Jesus. And they're almost resistant to it. They come resistant to it. And you can see this in people all over today. They don't want to hear. You try to witness and they just are unwilling. And unfortunately, they're going to pay a grave price one day for not opening their heart to really sincerely hear and listen about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's sad, you know, it's sad because you want, you know, this is our desires. Our desires that people would come to know Jesus. But they have to be willing. You know, that's why Jeremiah said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And when you actually hunger to know the truth, you will find Jesus. But you've got to want to learn, and instead of having a resistant spirit. And you can see this in doctrine too. You know, some folks just are unwilling to listen. You could throw every evidence out there in the book, but they But sometimes people just don't want to hear. They've been taught a certain way of thinking, and they aren't willing to really see the evidence. And because they're coming resistant, they don't see it. They just won't see it. And it's really sad when that happens. May we all be humble and be willing to hear and see. We can hear and see, but we've got to allow it to sink in. And then it says this, Paul closes, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen. And, you know, Paul always begins with the Jews. And when he got to Rome, he begins with the Jews. But eventually he's going to take the message to the Gentiles. And, you know, they're going to be apt to listen. And this is one of the reasons the Jews didn't want to listen. They didn't like the fact that Gentiles could come straight to God through Jesus and didn't have to become Jew first. And it was a pleasant message for Gentiles, but you know, it takes nothing away from the Jews. They can have Jesus just like we can. They can be saved and forgiven and promised eternal life just like we can, but they kind of felt like they had an exclusive right to God. And now they're not. The family of God now is those who believe in Jesus, and the Jews struggled with that. When he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves. You'll see that's in parentheses because it's not in all the manuscripts. Someone may have added that later, but you know, it's undoubted that there were people that disagreed among Jews about whether, you know, coming to Jesus or not. There probably was a division, and someone wanted to probably add that note later, and that's why it's not in all the manuscripts. But it's nice that we can tell that through research. We can tell what's authentic and what may not be authentic, and that's why they bracket it out like that. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. You know, and here's where we really get, I think, what God was after in getting Paul to Rome. You know, he's going to have this 2-year period where he's a prisoner, but he's given great privilege and opportunity to speak. And this is where he writes, for sure, all the prison epistles we believe are written from this quarters right now. So like books like Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, you know, were written right now. And What an awesome thing it was that Paul, being in prison, had an opportunity to write, and now we have these letters that have become part of our canonized scripture where we can know so much more about God, hallelujah, because Paul was in prison. And, you know, I think it ended up working out for the glory of God that Paul was there. We know so much more about Jesus, hallelujah. So God takes all things and he works it to the good. And God had a plan for Paul to get to Rome, and he's there, and he's being able to teach about Jesus with all openness and unhindered. And church, I really think that's what, you know, we need to be, is more open and unhindered. You know, I had a great opportunity yesterday to, I played golf with a couple new people that I've never played with before. Couple nice guys, older guys, and after the round, got to visit with them and share about God with them. And actually, one of our church members was also there, and I invited him over to sit with us. And all of us sitting at this table were all at one time Catholic, and these guys are not following anymore. They're not really even attending church, even though they were Catholic their whole lives. And John, excuse me, John and I, you know, both. At one time, we're Catholic, and John, who I invited to come sit with us, you know, recently, in the last several years, left the Catholic Church, so to speak, and is now with us at our church. And he was able to share a testimony and with these guys, and you know, I hope it bears fruit in their lives. You know, I gave them a card to the podcast here. One guy seemed more receptive than the others, but hopefully, you know, we can be open and unhindered. And you know, I pray that those men would seek to hear and listen and understand, and that God could open their hearts to really fully comprehend the beauty and majesty of Jesus and his gospel. Hallelujah. So may we be like the Apostle Paul Let's keep teaching about Jesus, open and unhindered, for the glory of God. What a great book. What a great story. What a great man in Paul. God bless you all.